The date is November 20th, 1996, and we're watching Jingle All the Way. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Merry Christmas!
Got to add something to it, a little flair here and there, you know?
Put a little stank on it. Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Myron Larrabee to my Howard Langston.
Wow. Racism. No, just kidding. Hello, I'm Colin Stewart.
I know, it's so racist. Like, how come they never give Arnold Schwarzenegger's characters an ethnic last name? It's always like, you know, something like Langston. Like, his real name is like 15 letters long. Totally racist against the fucking the Austrian people.
God. Yeah, Langston? Like, yeah, his name should always be like, I don't know, like...
like Stanovich or something,
yeah,
you know?
Something ending with an itch or a etz or a, you know...
vaguely
or
Eastern
an Egger.
European.
Yeah, or an Egger. Yeah, not Langston, just that sounds like, I don't know.
Yeah, because, like, his character in True Lies has a very bland name.
I think there's
well,
a character in Futurama called Langston Cobb, who's that famous actor with a bag over his head. That's the only other Langston I can think of.
Yeah, he was Richard Kimball in Kindergarten Cop. So.
Yeah.
Right, yes, yeah. Kindergarten Cop.
Well, but this week, we've got one more Christmas movie, and we brought one more Christmas guest, and you've heard his voice already. Well, my son... the Anakin Skywalker.
There you go. Yeah.
Chris Wells. Chris, welcome back.
Well, we can't have Christmas without Chris, right? I'm a big part of that name.
There we
so
go. That
I'm
works.
Chris
yeah.
Kringle. You guys can't see it, but I am wearing a Santa hat right now.
That is
so
true. Absolutely.
I'm embodying my fellow Chris during this holiday season.
Yeah.
You're also a Chris with a K, right?
Yeah. I am a Chris with a K, so yeah, I'm double embodying it. In fact, at work on my locker, my name is written in big letters on the only locker with Chris plastered to my locker. And somebody under there pasted a note that said Kringle like 2 years ago. And it said Chris Kringle on my locker for like 2 years now.
Nice.
Right on.
So, yeah, I am Chris Kringle.
Well, this week we are looking back at November 1996 when the movies in theaters were William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, Dear God, Ransom, Space Jam, one of our past episodes, and of course our movie for today, Jingle All the Way, which earned $129.8 million on a 60 or 75 $75 million budget. it was unclear. I got multiple answers to that, so it's somewhere in that ballpark, 60 to 75.
Nice. I mean, I bet It was probably like a reshoot situation.
Yeah.
Or maybe at the end they're like, oh, we need to see Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Turbo Man suit, so they splurged for a little bit of extra.
That's right.
But as
those effects at the end, they ran a little over budget.
A little bit.
Really broke the bank.
Yeah, those cutting edge effects.
Yes.
Anyways.
But as always, there will be spoilers ahead, so if you don't want, I was trying to find a reference from the movie. You know what? We'll just scrap that. As always, there will be spoilers ahead, so if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, then please hit pause, go watch it, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
See, I have to say it as Jingle All the Way, right? You know, you put the stank on it with the, you know, Jingle All the Way in the beginning. But yeah, see, I always remember back when Conan had his, like, in the year 3000, and one of the things he always did was have this picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger where only the lips moved and someone was doing a bad Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it was always, get to the choppa and Jingle All the Way. Those were the two things that he always kept coming back to, you know, was not that...
Put the cookie down!
Put the cookie down! Yeah. There is no bathroom. Yeah. Well, the tagline that appears on the poster for this movie is, I only have one this week.
It had to happen. Just the Arnold Schwarzenegger impression bit. I knew it was going to happen at some point that we are all going to bust out some sort of impression.
Come here, little girl. I won't hurt you.
Oh, dude, he's so menacing. Oh, anyways, do your bits. Do your bits so we can get into this fucking weird movie.
So the one tagline I have for this movie this week is, two dads, one toy, no prisoners.
Hostages, at least.
Yeah, a couple of those.
Couple of those taken throughout the film.
Yeah.
I mean, I would argue it's three dads, no? Like,
I guess so. Yeah, I mean,
there is a Phil Hartman in the situation as well.
Two dads, one toy, one creep, and no prisoner. Yeah,
it is that tagline is kind of interesting to me, just because when I watched this when I was a kid, like, and that's literally probably the last time I've seen this movie. I remember thinking that like the Howard versus Myron scenario was like bigger than it actually is in this movie. It's not as pronounced as I remember it being.
No, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of surprised that they don't have a tagline that's more like Schwarzenegger driven.
Yeah.
You know, something like, you know, your number one action hero is looking for the number one action toy. Or I don't know, you know.
That's a bit on the nose.
Or it's turbo time. That would have been
my pick. Turbo time. Yeah. He's come to terminate the Black Friday event. I don't know. I mean, it's not Black Friday or anything. I don't know. Whatever. But it may not be a very good description of this movie. Actually, it's surprisingly good. But let's go to Colin and get a more thorough 60-second synopsis.
Okay. Mattress salesman Howard Langston is having a tough time managing his work-life balance. When he disappoints his son Jamie for the umpteenth time by missing his karate test, Howard makes amends by promising him that come Christmas morning, there'll be a Turbo Man action figure waiting for Jamie underneath the tree. Turbo Man, the most popular kids' television character in fictional 1996, with the hottest action figure on the market, one Howard's wife Liz later reminds him he was supposed to buy 2 weeks ago. With zero action figures in hand and one day to find it, Howard sets out on a quest to find a Turbo Man for Jamie, but finds every toy store in the city is sold out. At every stop, he runs into a mailman named Myron, who is on a similar quest to get a doll for his son. He also routinely runs afoul of a local police officer. In his efforts to be a good father, Howard ultimately fails to be a good man. As the day progresses and the chances of getting this doll grow slimmer, Howard finds his morals slipping, whether it's assaulting a child, getting ensnared by an underground Santa crime syndicate, impersonating a police officer, or stealing a toy from his neighbor's kid. Oh, and all the while, I should mention that said neighbor is trying to bone Liz, his wife. And who could blame him? And that's your 60-second synopsis.
Nice. Would 2 weeks have even been long enough in advance? I mean, you know, like, that's a glaring part of that 60-second synopsis that for some reason jumped out at me. You know, he was supposed to get it 2 weeks ago. It's the most popular toy of the season.
At the moment of recording, we are almost 2 weeks out from Christmas, and I am still Christmas shopping.
Mm.
So it's not totally unbelievable, but to be the dad of a kid and wait till Christmas Eve is a little much.
Yeah.
But also, why can't the mom get the toy?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean,
if dad's out being a big furniture salesman or whatever, what's she up to? It's never really explained, is it?
Why is it the man's work? Yeah, she's...
Well, that's not what I'm saying, but...
she's reverse sexism herself.
He's clearly fucking busy. Why wouldn't she just also, like, ensure that they get that gift if he's clearly known for forgetting everything, which... We'll get into it, but
so Jingle All the Way for me is one that I actually didn't watch until I saw that bit on Conan. I watched it as a goof, and you know, it was one of those movies that happened and has never kind of turned into my one of my yearly rotation. But every once in a while I pull it out just to have a little bit of stupid fun. But yeah, I don't have a huge history with Jingle All the Way, but it's Jingle All the Way. I mean, it's one of the greatest Christmas movie titles of all time.
Yeah, how is that the first movie to have that fucking name?
Well, because Santa with Muscles was already taken. So, but that's it for me. And Chris, what about you? What was your history with Jingle All the Way?
I was positive that I had actually seen it at one point, but I'm sure that I've gotten it mixed up with Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah.
Because I've definitely seen Kindergarten Cop, just the whole Arnold Schwarzenegger dad figure with a kid. Just, yeah. I definitely got the two mixed up, because halfway through this movie, I was like, there's no fucking way I've ever seen this movie. It's so weird. It might go into a rotation, especially around the holidays, like, because that was just such a weird one to watch.
Yeah. Now, Colin, we've discovered on this show that, like, mid-90s is kind of right in the pocket for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of alluded to it earlier, or was that before we actually started officially recording? Either way, this is what is your history with this one? Because I think you actually have a bit more of a childhood history than I do.
Yeah, I would say this movie, and, like, I was right in the pocket for this movie to come out in 1996, I would have been like, how old? How many years ago is that? Quick math. I'm bad at math. 26 years?
Yes.
So I would have been like 10. So I was like, well, maybe a little too old for this movie, but also, I don't know. I loved it still. I was young at heart. And I remember getting...
Well, it's got the whole Power Rangers.
I know. I was gonna say that's probably what drew me in, is like, I mean, I've been into like action figures and stuff my entire life to this day, but I remember, and I like Schwarzenegger too, and I remember thinking this movie was so funny. I liked the weird, you know, I remember really liking the Turbo Man bit at the beginning, and wishing that, like, yeah, and wishing that Turbo Man was a real show, and wishing that I could get a Turbo Man doll.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah, I don't know. This movie and Home Alone were like the two movies I'd watch a lot when I was a kid, but I don't think I'd actually watch this movie again in my adulthood until now.
Yeah, one of those two won the competition at one point.
Yeah,
in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. Well, okay, let's jump into Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, I got a lot to say.
Directed by Brian Levant, who is the director of the Flintstones movie. Produced by Michael Barnathan, Chris Columbus, and Mark Radcliffe. And Mark Radcliffe is related to Daniel Radcliffe, right? That's his dad, right?
I don't know. You seem to have done the research on this here movie. I just watched the damn thing.
Okay.
And showed up.
And it's written by Randy Cornfield. I think that's a good porn star name. And so...
Hornfield, more like name. It.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
So we open this movie with, like we said, the Turbo Man show, which is a little Power Rangers looking.
Oh, I love it.
And we get to see the Vasquez Rocks again.
There you go. I'm glad you said it. If you didn't say it, I was going to say it, because we've done a few movies that feature the Vasquez Rocks at this point, because we've done Bill and Ted. Austin Powers, yeah, which both have the Vasquez Rocks in them.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, though, this intro has very early 2000s energy for me, at least. While it is very much a Power Rangers homage, something about the colorful superhero and the very plastic suit gives me, like, Sky High and you know, Zoom with Tim Allen.
Yeah, Zoom with Tim Allen.
It gives me, like, that kind of energy when I was watching it. And then immediately when they start popping out and doing flips and shit, I was like, oh, but this is definitely a Power Rangers thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that part gave me Power Rangers vibes for sure when those, like, weird little minions come out. But the more I thought about it, the more it gave me, like, Cockknocker, like, Blunt Man and Chronic vibes from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
sure.
The big foam props and the, colorful spandex suits, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, this is where we start getting cameos, isn't it? Aren't some of the people in those one... I'm trying to remember where the cameos start, because there's a wicked amount of, like, unexpected people in this movie.
Are they even really like, cameos, though? Well, they're just kind of characters.
I guess so. For some of them, it's early career.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if some of them are big enough to be cameos.
Yeah, like Chris Parnell, it's his first film. But, like, Vern Troyer and Big Show, you know, Paul White, Big Show as, you know, a couple of the Santas at one point.
Yeah, that's kind of
that's what started the argument.
The Big Show thing was kind of weird because, I mean, this was, he would have still been WCW. I think he's credited as, like, Paul the Giant White because this is still, like, WCW days, like, pre the Big Show. But it's weird.
Well, yeah.
It's weird to.
He's credited as Giant Santa, I think, right?
Yeah.
In the credits.
Yeah. It was weird to see him in this movie because I was like, oh, you know, look how far he's come. Now he's got the Big Show show on Netflix.
No, I know, right? Yeah. You know it's a good show when like the word show is said twice. I mean, it's just like double the show for you right there.
Yeah, I felt if there were any cameos in the other than the Big Show, really, they would have been lost on me because I don't know that I recognized really anyone. It was kind of weird to see that Jim Belushi was in the movie. Is he the one that died?
No, John Belushi is the one that died.
Yeah.
Oh, John Belushi is the one that died.
Yeah, so Blues Brothers, he's dead, but Jim Belushi's still kicking it. We've seen Jim Belushi in Trading Places. He was the gorilla. Yeah.
Okay. I always mix up which one was the one that died.
Yeah.
That makes more sense though.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, oh, was this like one of the last movies for both Phil Hartman and Belushi? But
oh yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate when something like this is. Yeah.
Is that his last movie?
No, I don't think it is, but it's close.
It's one of them. I think his last movie was Small Soldiers, I'm pretty sure, if I read right.
That's good. I was so excited to see Phil Hartman. Just hearing his voice puts a smile on your face. I fucking
Troy
love
McClure,
Phil
man. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm a huge Simpsons fan. I've got a Bart tattoo. But yeah, to hear Troy McClure, Phil Hartman, so good. Just his, like, just the way his voice continues after he finishes a word or something like that because he's so pretentious. And his performance is great. But yeah.
That is kind of like a dark stain on this movie for me because I think, like, in all honesty, like, Phil Hartman might be the first person I ever heard of being murdered in life. I specifically like remember watching this movie and being like, oh man, that guy's so funny. And my mom coming and being like, oh, like he got killed.
He was shot.
And telling me the story about like what happened.
Thanks,
not,
mom.
Not in graphic detail, but just kind of telling me like his wife killed
him. Did you know?
Come his sit wife... on my knee. Let me tell you a tale.
While he was sleeping, shot him right in the forehead. Yeah. The blood went everywhere. Anyways, have fun watching the movie.
And I don't think I'd ever like really heard of somebody who I was like aware of being murdered before that.
Okay,
jeez, what a good connection to the holiday classic.
The holiday classic.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. So I'm glad that you said that he was a mattress salesman because for some reason I didn't get that. I didn't pick that up.
It says box spring randomly on his computer screen. It says box spring sale to whoever, and it's a bunch of box spring sales. So I think he runs a furniture store though, not just a mattress store. Is it a mattress?
I just remember him talking about like asking the guy when he's on the phone if he wants a king or a queen, and then there's a scene when they're showing the Christmas party and everybody's doing the conga line where they're weaving in and out of like around mattresses or box springs, maybe. I don't know, one of the two, but
so he's involved with the mob because we all know, right? That mattress stores are just friends for the mob.
Yeah. Who, or like waste removal.
Who goes to a store and buys a fucking mattress?
Yeah.
There's been a mattress in South Common as long as I've been alive. There's no way anybody's ever bought a mattress out of that store.
I feel the same thing about like
they go
the
and
brick.
Test it there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, okay, so now
like Sears sells mattresses and they sell 1,000 other things. How the fuck is there a place that just sells mattresses? Like it doesn't make sense.
Well, Sears went out of business.
Sears went out of business, but there's other you
mattress
know what I
mean? Store is just still kicking it though.
Because no. They're fronts for the fucking mob. So, I'm telling you.
Okay, so is Howard Is he like a tycoon of mattresses? Like, does he have multiple stores, or is this just one store? Because he's up there wheeling and dealing. He looks like he's doing big business. You're my number one customer.
Exactly.
He's always work, and it's like, I sold furniture for a while at one point in my life, and I wasn't a workaholic like that.
He's either definitely involved with organized crime, or there is this guy in, like, Houston, I think, called Mattress Mac, who is known as a furniture salesman, and he's like this really charitable guy, and he has a university at his store where he teaches people trades to work in his store and stuff like that. So maybe he could be based on that, but he's kind of an evil dude in the movie. There's a lot of really menacing scenes of Arnold in this movie, so I don't think he's supposed to be this charitable, hospitable guy.
Yeah, did you bring up a good point? I don't know what his I don't know where he sits in the hierarchy of this business.
Yeah,
because they never. Like, clearly he's pretty high because he has an assistant, so it leads
and
me to
and an office.
And a massive
yeah,
office.
Why can't his assistant buy a gift?
And he's not engaging in the Christmas party festivities, so it leads me to believe he's probably, like, the big boss. And yeah. They never really show his boss or anything. Like I feel like the easy way to give you some sympathy for this character would be to show, like, a domineering boss who's on his ass and, like, keeping him at work and stuff. But they never do that, so I feel like he's the head.
He's just a workaholic.
No, he's definitely the head because of his fucking house.
Well,
like,
that's true.
It's jumping forward a bit. I don't know if we should go through some more before we get to it, but oh my god, this man's house is huge. Well, and there's so much.
Does his
like
wife work?
That's the thing. She seems to always be at home getting flirted with by Phil Hartman. So,
yeah.
But it is also close to the holidays. She could just be off.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Because
it's
Christmas Eve that most of this.
If that's a single income home, though, yeah, that is definitely a
yeah,
nice
he'd
house
have to
for a single.
Well,
own
he'd
that
have to be the owner.
It's also the 90s
and a movie.
And a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, like, let's go back to the McAllister house.
Exactly.
Like yeah. you're expecting me to believe one income base for that house and sends a whole family to Paris?
Yeah.
Please. Is this Donald Trump? Like, what?
You know what's funny? Speaking of Home Alone, Myron, the character played by Sinbad, Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern were both considered for that role.
I think Daniel Stern would have been amazing in that role. Joe Pesci would have been good too, but I think Daniel Stern would have been awesome.
Yeah.
But kudos to them for diversity to the movie.
Oh, I love Sinbad too, dude.
Oh, Sinbad. Yes, to take it serious for a second, I don't know if you've seen Sinbad
recently. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a stroke 2 years ago and he's still learning to walk at this point.
And I think he's even doing speech therapy too.
Yeah, if you want to see a picture that shows the word ashen in a photo, then Google a picture of Sinbad right now. He's looking rough. So, I mean, you know, big shout out to Sinbad in this movie, though. I mean, people dunk on Sinbad, but fuck you.
No, yeah, I love Sinbad, especially in his Always Sunny episode. I'm a huge Always Sunny fan, so.
But he was so underused in this movie. I mean,
I really loved him in Kazam.
There you go. Yeah, no, you didn't.
What?
Don't put the lies out there. We get enough things wrong on this show. I can't even think of another Sinbad movie, come to think of it.
Yeah, no, it's just his Always Sunny role that I know, but seeing him in another thing was very exciting.
Yeah.
And the man's ginger. That's crazy to me. He's got freckles and everything. It's just weird. Because in everything I know of Sinbad, he's got black hair and it's not really noticeable. But in this one, the freckles are a lot more pronounceable. And I've seen photos of him when he was like starting out. And yeah, he's full-blown ginger. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So Howard promises that he's going to get to the karate competition on time. Of course he doesn't. So now, Phil Hartman, is he aware of the other women hitting on him? Because
well,
like,
yeah, no, I feel like this is his shtick.
Well, like, at the end of it, he's like talking to Rita Wilson or whatever, and he's like, a lot of girls would be very happy to be in your situation right now in the car or whatever before she punches him with the eggnog. Yeah, he's saying that like a lot of girls are lucky or whatever,
so
and like a lot of girls would.
He
love.
Really just wants the one that he can't have.
Well, I bet you he's porked every other girl on the block. This is the forbidden fruit.
That's a hoary block. Is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah, yeah. They're all,
does
they're
he
all...
not mention that he's targeting divorcees? Like I feel,
is it divorcees?
I feel like the girl, the two women specifically who hit on him like earlier.
Yeah, all the cookie innuendo
yeah.
and whatnot. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought I for some reason have it in my mind that that was a part of it.
Yeah. I also couldn't help but notice that at the karate competition, Rita Wilson claps really weird. Or she made a very unusual character choice. But she has this weird, like, I don't know, one hand is hooked over, and I don't know how to explain it. But if you go and watch Jingle All the Way, watch for Rita Wilson clapping at the karate competition, because it's just weird. It's weird, yeah.
I love when he's getting ready to go out or whatever, and he's like, I'm going to make it, and his assistant's putting on his coat. As he's like walks out, she does like a double hand overhead toss of his scarf, and it perfectly lands around his neck. And it was just—I loved it. It was great. I just had to point that out. I wrote it down.
First take,
yeah.
No rehearsals.
There's no. Yeah.
She improvised that moment. She nailed it. Yeah. I didn't take a whole lot of notes on this movie. I realized though, there wasn't a whole lot actually. Going on at times.
There's not a lot to say about the plot. I just have a lot of specific comments about certain parts.
Yeah.
Well, the next thing I wanted to move to was Jamie's room because it's fucking awesome.
I wish
that was my room. That like Captain America mural on the one wall.
Yeah,
it's so
fucking
sweet.
Huge. Yeah, he's got a Hulk mask. He's got Marvel sheets, Fantastic Four pillowcases. He's got a Batman statue in his room. At the door, there's an intercom system that I imagine goes throughout the house to call people for dinner or some shit.
Yeah.
He's got a basketball hoop on his fucking closet. He's got a baseball glove chair. This kid is living the high life. He's got a bed. He's got a table. And
he's got a bed.
Chairs.
Not a fucking bed.
Well, no. And he's got a table with two chairs in his room to do doodles at and shit. Like, his room is massive, and it's got everything a kid could want in it. Like, this dude must be making shmoney.
It doesn't have a Turbo Man action figure, and if he doesn't get
but
one,
it doesn't have
he's going to be a loser.
Turbo Man thing. That's my main problem with it. There's so much fucking DC and Marvel product placement. Why didn't you made this character that this kid's obsessed with? The only explanation I can think of it is that this must be a new thing for the kid because dad doesn't know what's going on. He's like, I had this big fucking Captain America painted because you were obsessed with Captain America last year. What's Turbo Man?
Yeah.
I get the feeling that Turbo Man is in like season one. Like it's brand new on the scene. It's like, I don't know if you guys,
we saw the pilot episode in the beginning. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it reminds me of like Sean would have been too old and Chris probably not even born. But like there was this like Power Rangers esque show that came out probably around the same time when I was either 10 or 11 called Mystic Knights of Tir na n'og. And it was like an Americanized version of Power Rangers. But instead of normal Power Rangers, they had like knight powers like. Because it was in like medieval times and shit, and it was fucking awesome. but it only lasted 13 episodes. But I remember like me and my buddies like wanted every action figure and stuff.
And all you had to do was wait 6 months for them to be at like the in the 50 cent bin.
Yeah, probably.
Well, see, I mean, the thing is for me, Power Rangers and the like, they're just. Live action Voltron to me. I mean, that's kind of that's the frame of reference I have. So,
yeah,
but we love Power Rangers.
Yeah,
it's great for what it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, this kid, Jamie is, I mean, he's spoiled as shit.
Seriously.
Like, he makes it very hard for me to want to sympathize with him.
My girlfriend said he seems like a kid who would play like a tremendous antichrist in the film. Because he's just like this little brat that kind of looks evil. She's like, oh, I get why he was Anakin, she said to me.
Are you an angel?
He looks a little evil.
Well, have you seen it? Have you seen his mugshot from like a few years back when he got arrested?
Oh, like... oh yeah, with the wispy goatee and everything.
Yeah.
You know who Jamie is? Jamie is the live action version of Max Goof to me. Like, just absolute, like... Yeah, spoiled. Like, has no idea how good he's got it in life, and should just.
Yeah,
I mean,
Chris just spent like 5 minutes listing off all the stuff that he has. So.
I thought that's where you were gonna launch in a sponsorship corner. I even fucking wrote it down because I was like, "There's so much random shit in this kid's bedroom."
Yeah. He kind of, I'll give him credit, he kind of pulls it together at the end, but still, that kid is so annoying. I don't know. Like, I feel bad. Whatever his name is in real life, Jake something, I feel like.
Jake
but,
Lloyd.
Yeah. Like,
I wrote at some point, shut up.
Yeah, Jake like, Lloyd. Like, he just, he has to be, like, the most punchable kid that exists. Like, he didn't stand a chance in The Phantom Menace. Like you could not have found a less endearing child. I don't know how that's even possible to say, but...
And if you've seen the infamous documentary on the making of The Phantom Menace, where it's all the behind the scenes footage, like, he auditioned 1,000 kids and there were so many kids that were so much better, and he hired this kid because he fucked up his audition. He went, you know, some kids audition well. That was his explanation. So he hired Jake Lloyd based on the fact that he fucked up his audition. But
solid.
Oh, yeah. Interesting choice. Especially to put, and I hate to be just dunking on them in this, because he's a little kid. Like, poor guy to be put in one of the most popular franchises of all time and just...
What, Jingle All the Way?
Jingle All the Way, yes. That's exactly what I meant. But
he's not in the second one. Trust me, I watched it.
But to put Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jake Lloyd in scenes together where they have to have heartfelt like conversations with one another, it was absolutely fucking painful. I wanted to claw my fucking ears off.
Jamie, like, I'm sorry
I didn't make it to your karate lesson.
Are you
Dad, you're an asshole. I can't believe you'd never make it.
Like, you promised you'd be at the parade.
And promises are magic, he says.
Look, you little shit. Let me talk to your mom.
That's the thing. He's like, look, I've been beaten up. My car's been broken into. Put your fucking mom on the phone. And he's like, Dad, you're an asshole. Promises are magic. Ah.
Daddy needs bail money.
Exactly. It's just like, ugh. It's so painful.
It's 1996. I'm at a payphone. I'm out of quarters, exactly. You little shit.
I wrote payphones in all caps. That must have been fucking awful to have to stop somewhere to call somebody and have to have change on you.
No, well, first you had to find the phone.
Oh, exactly. Fuck. And there's no Google Maps to be like, oh, there's a payphone on the corner here or whatever where there's bus stops.
That's right.
But just painful to have them in scenes together. And me and I were talking or whatever, my girlfriend and I were talking, we're like, it's like we're watching some sort of like a high school YouTube video, the way they're acting with each other. Just their line delivery is so just, ugh. Arnold Schwarzenegger, great physical comedy in this role, I'll agree. But is he the right choice for this American Family Man?
Ooh, segue. Well, funny you should say that. There were other options for Howard Langston.
Okay.
Tim Allen, Robin Williams, Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, and Steve Martin were all considered.
Now, I could see of them in this role before I could see, other than the fact that he has to play a superhero at one point, which I knew from the start. And I hadn't seen this movie, but I knew from the opening bit, I went, oh, he's going to have to play this character to win his son's love back or his child's love back. Literally from the opening, I said that to me or whatever. That's the only reason I could think to cast him in it. Because other than that, yeah, he beats up a bunch of Santa Clauses. That might have been written into the movie because they got Arnold Schwarzenegger instead of the rest of them, right? Because it's like he gets shirtless for half a second at one point, but why else cast him in this role, right? Am I crazy?
I don't know.
Well, I feel like
the Terminator.
I feel like this. He's kind Come of on. In his
comedy phase.
Comedy phase, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when the
Cop was before this.
He's doing Twins. He's doing Kindergarten Cop. I get that,
Junior.
But he just doesn't seem. He's not the right choice for this role. All of those guys are like, yeah, American Funny Dad, National Lampoon, whatever.
But you know what it is? It's like all these. Like, every action star needs to take a turn at a family comedy to see if they can, like, pull it off. It's like Vin Diesel in The Pacifier, Rock in the Tooth Fairy and The Game Plan. You know, it never works. The Pacifier worked,
Hulk Hogan in Suburban Commando.
The Pacifier worked, let's be honest. But
the Pacifier was great, yeah.
But yeah, I feel like this was Schwarzenegger's stab at that, because it's different. I mean, it's different from like comedy.
Yeah, because Kindergarten Cop, he was still an action star in Kindergarten Cop. This is no, you're a fucking family man, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Try that on. See, where was that tagline? You know, he's taking on armies, but
you've
now
seen Arnold Schwarzenegger as an unstoppable robot. Watch him manage a family of two.
Or holiday crowds.
Watch
there
him be
go.
The patriarch of a family of two.
That's right. That's right.
That would snag the holiday crowd.
Yeah. So this whole Turbo Man doll thing is said to mirror the Cabbage Patch doll craze of the 80s, which I went through. And then, interestingly enough, the same year that this movie came out was the year that Tickle Me Elmo was fucking bananas, ridiculous, impossible to get.
Because Mia at one point said to me, because there are, we gotta say, they must have cast 3-4 dozen tremendous stunt people, because some of those like Black Friday-esque just bodying people into store shelves and like tackling each other, like with Sinbad and Arnold Schwarzenegger on the floor being like bitten and wrestled with, like some of it's kind of vicious. Like,
it's not far off the truth though.
Yeah, exactly. Good on them though, but like Mia was saying
shining a spotlight on their society, right?
But was Black Friday like, even a thing then?
Well, I don't think in full truth, but the Tickle Me Elmo, from what I understand, is like kind of what started it off.
Did
like,
Jingle All the Way make Black Friday crazy? But Americans are like, wait, we can do that?
But you were saying it's based on the Cabbage Patch craze, yeah. which
was insane.
Okay, is good to know, because she was asking me, she's like, there's no way toys got this crazy, like... Right? Companies would make more because otherwise they're just losing out on money. And I'm like, yeah, but some companies can't like compromise for it. Like Kenner or whatever, when Star Wars came out, like they couldn't have known that they were going to sell out of their whole stock in like a couple of hours or whatever. But like, yeah, we had to Google a list of them. And yeah, Cabbage Patch Dolls and Beanie Babies and
Power Rangers were one of them. Yeah,
Power Rangers was one of them. And yeah, Tickle Me Elmo was the one I went by, and I went, "Oh, it's based on Tickle Me Elmo." But then this is where the argument came in, because she went, "Well, Tickle Me Elmo, if it says 1996, it obviously was the hit holiday after this, because it must have come out during the holiday season. So they came out simultaneously. There's no way it's based on Tickle Me Elmo." And I was like, "Fuck you, fine, you're right."
Okay,
that was the argument.
So we bring Chris on the show. We've got two guests now. So we just listen to the whole conversation between Chris and his girlfriend.
We should bring her on at one point. Because, yeah, a lot of these movies I just end up watching with her. Because I'm like, all right, well, here's something to watch. Because I got homework for Sunday.
I remember, like,
sorry.
Furby being, like, a crazy thing.
Furby was another stupid one.
The one I Googled that I noticed... I'm forgetting his fucking name now, but maybe you guys just know. It's he's like a walking robot. He's like white, and he just walks.
Omnibot or something?
No, it was something robot, yeah. But there's a Sunny one where it's called Redman the Robot, and I always think it's that. So I don't know. I forget what he's called, but that's the one I recognize anyways.
Yeah. So... Howard has to go wait in line on, what is it? It's Christmas Eve, or is it It is Christmas Eve?
Yeah, well, because, he leaves. He leaves, and she goes, well, you can't leave on Christmas Eve. There's no way you have to fucking work on Christmas Eve. And he went, well, I forgot it in the office.
Yeah, those mattresses won't sell themselves.
And then he's gone for 7 hours in the morning, and she's like, oh, well, he's just at the office, whatever.
Yeah. Sinbad would be the worst person to be stuck in a line with. Like, what an annoying guy. Like, just, I don't know. It just bugs me.
And I've got to say, another thing that bugged me is the score of this movie, the entire time anybody's talking, there's this, like, upbeat trumpet underneath it all, like, dun 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 dun, and there's, like, an emotional thing happening or whatever, and there's just that in the background, or there's an angry thing happening, it's just dun 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 dun. That's just happening the entire fucking movie.
That's what makes it a Christmas movie.
Well, no, what makes it a Christmas movie is everything's decked to the nines and Christmas shit, like Lethal Weapon. They have to remind you it's a Christmas movie. They're like, yeah, it's Christmas. Look at all the Christmas trees. Look at all the Santa clauses. Yeah.
That was weird. Like, because this movie was filmed mostly in Minnesota, but then partly in California. And there were times where I'm like there's one scene, the scene where his truck breaks down. They go to this overshot. I feel like that's the only time you see snow.
Yeah.
And then the rest you're like, or maybe like a little bit when they're outside the houses. I think there's snow then. But then there's other times where they're on the streets where it just seems like I'm like over in California now. Like, there's no snow to be seen.
Mia said when the car was broken into, she went, is Minnesota that dangerous?
It might be. You never know.
I don't know. Have you ever seen Fargo?
Exactly. I was going to say, Fargo,
that's
a couple
North
murders
Dakota
take place.
That's
North
Dakota. Fargo,
right.
Or is it Minnesota?
I don't know.
Well, I think the TV show has Fs. I feel like the TV show is in Minnesota, but maybe I'm wrong.
Fargo was filmed in Alberta?
It was filmed in Alberta, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Near Calgary.
Right on. When he gets his car towed, the tow truck driver is Marianne Moyerly. Yeah. I don't know how her name is. She played. I think it's French, but she played the wrong Sarah Connor in The Terminator.
Oh.
Just a fun little Easter egg for.
I think it's pronounced moo.
I hope to God there wasn't an awkward conversation on that set where she was like, went up to Arnold Schwarzenegger, hey, like, oh, it's so good to see you again. He was just like, who?
Put that cookie down!
Who are you?
Get to the chopper! Okay.
Sorry. That'll happen periodically.
Probably,
For those listening,
So I like when he gets into the store and the toy section, all the Turbo Men are gone, but the fucking sidekick is there and nobody likes the sidekick. But then there's like that surreal moment where he asks for the toy and everyone starts making fun of him and then standing in a circle around him, laughing and pointing.
That's where the movie goes from like fun, which I'm glad Chris Columbus produced this, because I was going to say Chris Columbus-esque movie takes like this weird cartoonish turn. And another argument that took place is like, who the fuck was this movie made for? Because we weren't fully sure if it was for kids. Because there's a section where all the Santas, like the illusion of Santa is blown off because all these Santas are running an underground operation and they all beat the shit out of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And there's a lot of innuendos and stuff in the movie and just, weird menacing things. And
I do like that they throw in a few subtle cover-ups for the kids. Like there is the point where he says, oh, sometimes at this time of year mommies and daddies get really busy.
Exactly.
At this time of year Santa gets really busy and asks mommies and daddies for help. I mean, you know, mommies and daddies get busy at the holidays too, but you know, that I don't want to misquote that. But no, they do throw in those few subtle things where it's like, oh, yeah, sometimes Santa can't, kids, but we're still saying Santa's a thing. Because he is.
Well, yeah.
With son sitting here.
He's a thing. He's getting me a gift this year, right? And you're getting me a gift, right?
We'll see about that.
He's on tape saying this. He does edit these, but...
Yeah, exactly.
He's on
cutting room floor, baby.
He said two gifts. You leave in the comments or email him. You email him. Tell him, get Chris two gifts. He deserves it. He's such a wonderful guest in your show.
Yeah.
So, I come a long way to be here.
Yeah, I know.
I walk up two fucking flights of stairs.
And you can't let anyone get a word in edgewise.
Well, no. So, I'm here to talk.
So it's interesting thinking of this movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger, they have the montage of him going store to store. Like, you brought up payphones earlier, but it's like, just the idea of there being no online option just seems ludicrous.
And the fact that there's some guy walks by going, oh, I heard there's a toy drop happening at this toy store. And everybody knows where that toy store is. They immediately know to get in their car and go there. They don't have to look in a map
or
anything.
Yeah, it's like a telephone chain.
Just,
And there's this many toy stores in this one city?
That's the other thing, because at this point during the movie, I was like, where does this take place? And then they said Minnesota, thankfully, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, because Minnesota's a state, so did he drive all around the state?
But no, I from the start of this thought it was like somewhere in New York. Like, I thought he was New York downtown looking at all the big Christmas,
but it's like St. Paul.
Well, yeah, yeah. You know it's like Minneapolis St. Paul once you get to like the Mall of America.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, Minneapolis, right, Mall of America. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they do a big yeah.
Yeah, it's just like Christmas in Wonderland where they do not shy away from the fact that they're in West Edmonton Mall.
I was just going to say that Mall of America is pretty tiny.
Yeah. That's where they did the premiere for this movie actually. Was they held it at the Mall of America.
Aww,
yeah. Oh, that would have been great. Shit. Yeah. We're going to take this premiere to Edmonton.
Come to YAG, guys. Come see WHEM. We don't have anything else.
He's talking like a millennial. It's all in abbreviations.
West Edmonton Mall. What do you mean? You say West Edmonton Mall every time? They brand themselves as WHEM. I didn't come up with that.
Okay.
I can't say that.
I think most people of our generation say West Ed.
West Ed.
Well, West Ed's the other abbreviation. No, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. WED.
WED.
Just WED. I'm bringing back WED. I don't think it was ever a thing, but I'm bringing it back.
Thank God.
So, yeah, like Chris mentioned there, they find out that one of the toy stores just got in a new stock. And according to the laws of supply and demand, the list price has just doubled. Oh, man. Like, okay, I don't understand.
In Reagan's America? Glad you like that.
It's definitely not Reagan's America. Yeah, that would have been end of Clinton's America, wasn't it?
Yeah, but, well, yeah.
Or middle was that of Bush America?
Middle of, because I don't know. Clinton went until Bush.
I don't know. You know, I'm Canadian. So, okay. So how was this ball thing supposed to work? What was the actual?
Right.
I thought they were all. You get a ball. And each ball has a number, and then they were just doing, like, a random lottery.
Exactly. So, it was a lottery.
So why did he care so much about the one ball? Because that means that it was still, like, a 1 in 50 chance that he was actually going to get anything out of this ball that he dangerously chases all over the Mall of America.
But the only explanation I can think for that is he does eventually use against Sinbad. He goes, that guy has two balls, and they all attack him.
Yeah, and I like
for
the innuendo.
Being a man, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But no, because immediately I was like, yeah, why wouldn't you grab a fistful of balls? Because that's just hot. And second of all, because then you'd have less than a 1 in 50 chance, right? Because you'd have a bunch of balls, and that'd be nice because you'd have a lot of balls.
That's right.
You like my innuendos?
Yes.
Were they
fantastic? Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, especially you didn't mention any of the blue colored ones. I mean, you did miss out on that one.
Yeah, blue balls.
I Balls.
Balls.
I did enjoy, though, the chase of the ball around the mall. It was a lot of fun. Like, it was surprisingly good comedy, surprisingly good chase.
Yeah, right?
Right? You know, like, crawling through the fucking tubes and everything. I mean, that was fun.
That must have been a fun scene to film.
That's fun Arnold Schwarzenegger shit right there.
And grabbing a child by the face?
Yeah.
Classic. Just...
But it wasn't Jake Lloyd.
But it wasn't the kid who deserved it.
I feel like that's kind of my takeaway from the movie of a whole is, like, the comedy works surprisingly well, like, better than you would expect. Like, I feel on the surface, if you were to just look at this movie and read a synopsis, you would think, man, this movie is going to be garbage. But yeah. It's actually, I think, quite entertaining.
It throws you for a loop, honestly.
Okay, well, now, here, let me give you a little rundown of Jingle All the Way 2. Have either of you seen Jingle All the Way 2, starring Cable the Larry Guy. Yeah. Have either
Guy
of you seen
the Larry
this one?
Cable.
Hell
I've
no.
heard of him.
Okay.
Larry
so
the Guy Cable.
What Jingle All the Way 2 is he is divorced from a woman that I have no idea how he was married to in the first place. And she's about to get remarried. So he sees his daughter all the time because somehow he lives in a trailer and he works like 20 hours a week. So he has all this time to spend with his daughter.
Camera above her bed. Right?
Huh?
What? So you can see her all the time.
Okay. Anyway, so he's the weekend dad, but he gets her all the so much because he doesn't work a lot. The new stepdad is like the richest guy in town. Mm. And so through a miscommunication, you know, this stepfather is trying to push, you know, the real dad out of his life and everything like that. So through a miscommunication, because they can't read the kid's writing, they think the kid wants the hottest toy around that year.
He wants the hottest boy around this year.
Okay. And so...
Sorry, I'm trying to guess. I don't know. It's very intriguing.
So the stepfather, the rich stepfather, goes and buys all the toys so that Larry the Cable Guy can't give the toy that they think that the daughter wants.
Okay, all the specific
So it,
toys.
It's a competitive thing. So okay. that's what the idea with Jingle All the Way 2 is. Is it's not that the toy is hard to get because it's super popular, but it's because this one guy is weaseling in there and buying the entire stock.
And that immediately just makes the main character more likable than it does in this film.
Yeah.
He's going against a clear antagonist, whereas Sinbad seems like a potential ally at first, and then becomes full-blown antagonist.
Well, and Howard himself is just buying his kid's love.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
That's actually a weird thing about this movie, watching as a kid versus an adult. Like, when I was a kid, it's like you're just conditioned to believe that Arnold Schwarzenegger is a hero.
He's
no matter
the
what, so like, regardless of what he's doing, you're like, as a child, everything he's doing is in the service for good. So he's the good guy. But watching this movie as an adult, like, nobody is the good guy. Howard is actually a really bad guy. Like, he's not
such a creep.
Like, yeah. he puts his family second. He like just uses intimidation and all this stuff to get his way. He shouldn't have just like fessed up at the beginning, like, and been like, well, sorry, Jamie, we didn't get you the toy, and like taught his kid a valuable lesson about like Christmas isn't about materialism and like sometimes you don't get what you want. And then the sickest thing is even at the end when he accidentally finds himself in this Turbo Man costume with the power to give any kid a Turbo Man doll, he's so selfish that he gives it to his own, like, spoiled brat son.
Yeah,
and that kid has to give it to someone else, even though he's a spoiled fucking brat. There's no way he would have given up that toy.
Yeah.
Like, Howard actually, like, learns nothing. In the entire movie, like he should have learned before Jamie did that, like, you know, maybe we should just give this to somebody less fortunate, which is clearly Sinbad, when clearly you're just rolling in a mansion with intercoms and shit. Like, come on.
Intercoms, exactly, yeah. He's a mailman who has to get out of his car because you put the trash in front of the mail.
He's a fucking mattress tycoon.
There's a lot of little rants that he gets into, and it's like, did they have a consultant that was a mailman or some shit? Because, like, it's very specific gripes that he has,
but I did notice though that the branding was not U.S. Postal Service though.
Oh.
Like, it was just like they made it look kind of like U.S. Postal Service, but I don't think they had the USPA's permission to do this. Yeah,
they weren't gonna get this sign off.
Why don't I do this though? Why don't I use that to go into sponsorship corner?
It's not like you haven't had 4,000 opportunities.
I know. Yeah. Right?
I'm so bummed that I didn't guess it. I literally wrote it on my page in like the margins here.
Gotta
keep sponsorship
guessing.
Corner. I thought for sure that's going to be where he jumped into it. But
yeah.
All right, here's 2 minutes.
I was actually surprised because when we're in the toy stores, they did a pretty good job of hiding most of what was in there. So
did you count all of the people that walk by in the parade as an advertisement?
I did, actually, yes.
Okay, so it is going to be pretty significant.
Yeah, okay, well, here we go. Always on the lookout for product placements and movies. This week, Jingle All the Way is brought to you by GMC Dodge and Volkswagen Cars, Michelin Tires, Apple, Lego, RCA, McDonald's, Pepsi, Marvel Comics, US West, and AT&T phones, and I guess DC Comics if you saw a Batman.
There was a Batman right next to his bed on the,
Okay, Crayola, the New York Rangers, Grain Belt Premium Beer, Delfield Coolers, Gilfillan Radios, the Mall of America, Etch-A-Sketch, and the characters Barbie, Snoopy, Hello Kitty, Cabbage Patch Dolls, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Sonic the Hedgehog, Bert and Ernie, Paddington, Raggedy Ann and Andy, The Tick, and Gumby.
The Tick.
Plus, all the possibly real, possibly fictional Playco toys, Linden Hills Meats. Let me try that one again. Linden Hills Meats, Butler Drugs, Zumbro Cafe, Mickey's Dining Car, Old Homestead Whiskey, 92KQRS, WFTC Fox 29, Dakota County Towing, Turbo Man Cereal, and of course, Turbo Man Toys.
Turbo Man Cereal looked very interesting. I was trying to think in my head, like, did they have to make their own cereal for just a scene? Like, because it was very, very specific, the shapes, and it's like a bunch of, like, weird, like, cookie-looking saucers and then multicolored, like, stars and shit.
Yeah, there would have been all sorts of cereals like that.
Well.
Take alphabets back in the day. They used to have shapes like that amongst the letters.
Okay, okay.
And this has been Sponsorship Corner.
That whole parade was really fun just to see all those people. It's like, did they have to get the right? I mean, it was the 90s, so Marvel was kind of broke, but did they have to get the rights for all the Marvel characters?
Yeah.
I was thinking to myself, I highly doubt it.
I think I don't know when the switch was, but I feel like in the 90s there wasn't all this, like, rights acquisition.
Ownership,
like,
and,
oh,
yeah.
Like, people were, it was only like, I honestly feel like it started with Spider-Man. Like, I feel like it started with when, like, Marvel split all their stuff and then wanted to bring it back together and couldn't.
And then Sony went, look what we got. Yeah.
Like, it's the same deal. Like, if you watch any, well, when you would watch, I don't know how it is now, but when you would watch any show back in the day, like, whatever people were wearing, like, you would see logos all over the place. And now if you watch any form of, like, reality TV show, or even sometimes older shows, they'll always, like, block out the
tape over the
logos of stuff.
Well, reality shows, like, I've been noticing more and more people wearing Band-Aids when they're wearing sleeveless shirts, because it's like covering up something their tattoo says.
Oh, really? That's kind of weird.
Yeah. That's weird. I don't know whether that one is a privacy issue or whether like someone's name that they want covered up or whether it's, like you've got a Pabst Beer logo on your body. You might have to cover that up if you were on.
It's artistic.
Yeah. Still. Yeah. I don't know.
But fair enough. Yeah. I got a couple characters on me.
Yeah. So after chasing the ball through the mall and getting in a fight with the little kid and having all the moms swat at him with their purses because...
belt buckles in them or whatever.
Yeah. They're carrying around tin cans. I think moms in the 90s just carried tin cans.
Oh, actually, something about this scene that I really loved was one of the moms is beating him with a tube of... wrapping paper.
Oh yes,
and you can hear that throughout the tonk 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 just over all the bags.
the Foley guy had fun with that.
Yeah,
one
exactly. Yeah.
but that's when Santa, Mall Santa, calls him on over and wants to sell him a Turbo Man doll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like the photo of the elf holding the doll with today's paper.
Like, and then he half tucks it in his belt for the rest of the scene, and you can see it poking out like he's not really hiding it.
Yeah,
his face when he meets the cop in that scene, I love it because he's just so happy and jovial, and immediately the cop walks by and he goes immediately back to his like thug routine or whatever.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, all the Santa stuff I thought was a lot of fun. I kind of enjoyed the compound that they have to go to with the dogs guarding it and everything like that. It's like, you know,
the fake beard gag was tremendous where he pulls the beard back and slaps into his face and he goes end over end and smashes into a pole like a fucking Looney Tunes cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Vern Troyer awesome. Taking the full punch in the face and like flying across the room.
So good. Yeah. I loved it. I loved it. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's where this movie, I was like, okay, they're trying to be silly with it. Okay. Yeah. All these menacing shots might've had a purpose.
Yeah. Because there is no way that Howard should not have been arrested at some point in this movie. Because I mean, not only does he impersonate an officer to get out of this raid that's happening on the Santa warehouse.
Out of character, too.
But
yeah. let's do that.
Let's just say it, guys. If Sinbad had done half of the stuff Howard did, he would have been shot.
Yes, he probably would have. Because, I mean, yeah, he knocks over the... like, he's got this motorcycle cop chasing him throughout the movie.
Throughout
the movie. You know, he ends up knocking the guy's bike over at one point, and...
spilling coffee all over
him. This guy has seen his ID. This guy knows his license plate number. He should have been able to track him down by now and arrest him. But there's the one scene at one point where he just bumps into him while he's having coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, hey, wait, it's you. Come back here. It's like, why weren't you out fucking tracking him down in the first place? Like, why were you buying coffee? You know where this guy lives.
Yeah, that bomb going off. Like, to jump forward a little bit, but just so fucking random. Like, that whole section, I was like, this is going to be the time where this bomb bit plays, Chekhov's bomb plays off, right?
Yeah.
Of course it does. Like, oh. That's, yeah. This whole movie is a cartoon, honestly. It's not to be taken seriously as a real movie. Yeah. It's very much a cartoon.
I do want to say also in the factory fight how much I enjoy seeing more nunchucks. Mm. We're on a roll with nunchucks.
And it's kind of weird. They got like the ninja Santa,
giant Santa.
Santa.
Yeah. So many Santas. Like, what? You know, people don't just want standard Santas. And, you know, I have to say, I didn't see Black Santa.
Or Girl Santa.
Or Asian Santa.
Or They Santa.
Yeah. So many Santas still missing 1996. Come Do on. Better.
What the fuck? Cancel all the producers on this film.
But you know, but meanwhile, every Santa, for the most part, has like an authentic little person to play an elf. Right? Like, there are a few, like, you know, standard size elves, a few, like, tall elves. But, you know, the majority of these people have, like, a little person sidekick. So, I guess that's showing some sort of... No.
Yeah, I was going to say inclusivity. It's just the show business industry what's the word? Exploiting little people.
Well, yeah, we were talking about how Willow is like cast probably every little person actor there is
in America. Yeah, yeah. Casted all of Little People America.
Oh, in the UK.
Oh, and the, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. So okay. So he runs out of gas. He pushes his car way further than I feel like he should have had to push it. Like, he broke down in the middle of a freeway.
Tim Allen would have left his car there, but it's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, see, and you also said that Arnold Schwarzenegger could play the hero. I mean, you famously brought up Zoom earlier in this podcast. Oh, so, you know, he did play a superhero in that.
But he's an old, retired superhero teaching the new generation.
Yeah, but he would have been younger in 96. But, okay, so he runs out of gas, but he pushes his car. Like, when he gets to that diner, like, I don't see a freeway. So it looks like he's pushed it, like, four blocks into the city as well. Like, is this diner... is this diner the first, like, phone that he's come to?
He left turned through an intersection a couple blocks back. Yeah. Pulled up a couple lights.
Like... yeah, it's
the one phone he knows of. He definitely passed one or two that he didn't know of a block over. Yeah. But he's like, I know there's a phone outside of this diner.
Yeah, yeah. And then so they get to the diner, and he happens to bump into Sinbad once again in this random diner in the middle of, like, some random neighborhood.
Yeah, peace and love, he says. I
know. Walks that's over. The weird thing is they're in a massive city. There's no way these two guys would run into each other this often.
Even if they're on the same quest, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I was gonna say there's not many people out looking on New Year's Eve for gifts, though. Maybe they would, but...
Well, especially on New Year's Eve, yeah.
Apparently there's 1,500 fucking toy stores to hit. How do they hit all the same ones at the same time? And then go to the same diner. It's like World War One or whatever. Like, Franz Ferdinand stopped off in a sandwich cafe, and then the guy he was supposed to shoot rolled by, and he went, oh, shit, okay.
Well, yeah, it's just
coincidence.
It goes beyond the coincidence stage in this movie, that's for sure.
Pretty sure that's the first time anybody's brought up a Franz Ferdinand reference on a comedy podcast.
Sorry for the World War One reference, everybody.
Hey, you know, if you can find the context to drop your Franz Ferdinand knowledge, you always should.
Well, that one gets me laid at the bars, so.
Yeah, well, of course it does.
I bet.
Yeah. I mean, all I've got is my poor old sad Hitler humor.
Slow down, Kanye. sorry.
Hashtag topical. So they...
December 4th at the time of filming, just by the way.
Filming? We're buying presents on New Year's Eve. We're filming. You're all over the place. God. So the radio thing comes on, and it's the world's easiest question of name Santa's reindeer. I don't know if you remember radio contests back in the day, but you do not get in on the first try.
No.
But somehow he managed to. But then, like, Sinbad just rips the phone out of the fucking wall. And so they start fighting in the diner, and the guy comes out, and he's like, the radio station's just down the hall, the street.
Care they just vandalized his restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, they destroyed his payphone, they've, like, tipped over tables, but he's like, just go to the radio station. Like, is that a bouncer being like, maybe you should take it somewhere else?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But to put the radio station into perspective, too, I was thinking about this a little bit ago, but one time you wanted to show me a Weird Al song, or you wanted to listen to a Weird Al song, and we spent the entire afternoon calling into various radio stations trying to get them to play American Idiot.
Canadian Idiot,
sorry, yeah.
Weird
and
Al, man.
You're like, oh, there's this song, Canadian Idiot, and then we spent, like, we called, like, six different fucking stations until one of them finally played it. Like, yeah, it takes forever to get anything on the radio.
I hope this was, like, pre-YouTube or Spotify.
Was this just, like, a fun
father and son outing?
No. This was, you must have been preparing for, like, Canadian Idol or something around the time. Like, this was early 2000s.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I don't understand how it takes this long, too, for this question to be answered. Because they, like, they have their whole fight, and then they run down the street. Why is Sinbad throwing mail out of his bag? Is he trying to lighten his load?
That's what I thought at first, but he's looking for that package, I guess, to claim it's a bomb, I thought, but that can't be it, because he just picked a random one.
And it seems irresponsible.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of felonies committed. A lot of mail is just randomly opened in this movie.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
But, yeah. And, well, the radio guy at one point says, well, it's not that easy. And that, I thought at first it was about the question. Because, again, yeah, the question, maybe it's a riddle or something and it's a joke answer. That was my guess. But it's not that easy must have been about the gift certificate reference, right?
Yeah, I think that's what he was talking about was, yeah, you're not just going to get an Ultraman. Yeah.
Turtle.
Yeah. Oh, Turbo Man. Yes,
Turtle,
that's right.
Turtle Man.
Yeah. That seems like a really scummy move on the part of this radio station. You know, it's like...
Right. That's also a perfectly fine gift at the end of the day. If you can't find one of them, it's a gift certificate to get one in the future. Kenner did. I brought up earlier. Kenner, they eventually just sold fucking gift certificates because they couldn't make enough Star Wars toys.
Yeah. No, that's true. But, you know, if it's a gift from Santa, how's a gift certificate going to look?
Well, Santa couldn't make it in time, but here's a gift certificate. Ho, ho, ho!
You know, I
labor laws said I couldn't work my elves hard enough. Sorry, son, next year. He says.
Yeah. So, I like that the motorcycle cops catch up with them at the radio station, but, you know, they manage to get away with an actual fucking bomb. You know, it's
crazy.
Like, it is nice that, like, while he's running down the street or whatever, or earlier, whenever it is that Sinbad says most of the, you know, a lot of people do send bombs. It's actually, it's actually legit. And for it to pay off, it's like, it was an obvious joke, but I'm glad that bomb went off.
They should have ended the movie with one of those, like, you know, like college movie stereotypes where it's like, Arnold went on to have a successful business. He opened a franchise. Sinbad served 15 years in prison for bomb charges, terrorism charges or whatever. There is a post-credit scene, actually.
Yeah.
One of the funniest moments in the movie to me is the point when after, like, they run out of the radio station and the bomb goes off. And they go to Sinbad, and he's like, it was an actual bomb? This is a sick world we're living in.
Sick world. One of my favorite Sinbad movies, or Sinbad moments in the movie, is he's being, like, beat on by a lady while they're trying to reach for the bouncy balls or whatever, and he goes, Rodney King! Rodney King!
Now, with the bomb... I mean, was the person that sent that just shitty at making bomb, or was it only supposed to have this Wile E. Coyote face blackening effect?
It's an old Unabomber one. It's just taken that long because the U.S. or what is it? Not the USPA.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. It's not. No.
But whatever that one is so bad at delivering bombs that it's taken that long and it's deteriorated.
It's deteriorated. Okay. So he ends up going home, and everyone's mad at him, but, you know...
How does he get home, by the way? Oh, tow truck.
Tow truck,
home,
yeah.
Because I was going to
say... But everyone's mad at him. They're not like, hey, had a rough day? Your car is up on a flatbed with no wheels and no doors?
Mom can't look out the window to be like, oh, well, shit.
Yeah. So instead, he breaks into Phil Hartman's house and almost sets it on fire.
Well, and glues his hand to that fucking box, like super glues it, because at one point he ditches the box in the living room and it's like, okay, you're off scot-free, you just put out the fire, and it's like, oh, whoops, how'd I end up in here? But he's just always holding onto that Turbo Man box because he just wants to be caught red-handed trying to steal that toy.
Yeah.
Just put the box down, I wrote. Yeah. Put the toy down, jackass. That's
and nothing says Christmas like giving a right hook to a reindeer and getting it drunk on beer,
and putting two beers in its bowl and then leaving.
Yeah,
that was that was definitely only written into this movie because it was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah We're like, we gotta see him take a swing at something, and it's gonna be too high of a rating if it's a person. So we'll knock out this deer instead. Don't worry, PETA, though. The scenes that are showing the most horrible treatment, they are puppets, which surprised me because I actually didn't think they did. I thought they had somehow trained this deer to, like, roll a punch, you know? Like, yeah, take an actual hit. No, I was thinking, like, actually, you know, flinch.
They just kept hitting the reindeer and kept calling it a pussy until it capitulated.
Yeah, that's right. Like,
fine, I'll do it. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
That scene is so good. Just punches it. This is the wrong day, reindeer. Just punches it in the face. Like,
and then shares a beer with it.
Yeah. And then goes, what am I doing drinking beer? I'm going to see my family, he says. What is this movie?
Phil Hart, well, he has a lot of good movies, but I love the fucking Balthazar.
So we've got the parade, and at the parade, I must say that that's quite an energetic marching band that they've got. The ones that are all dressed up in, like, the shiny Santa outfits. And doing, like, choreography as the marching band.
Mm, right.
Do marching bands get that fancy? I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Sure, big
man. Have you ever seen, like, a college football game or anything like that? Yeah, like, they get crazy.
The people but walking they, across
I don't know.
Fields
I, yeah, I find
shit.
That they're doing lines and stuff, but, like, they're out there doing, like, spin moves and stuff.
You never seen those where they form to make an image or something and then, like, make the image move?
Yeah.
Marching bands some do some crazy shit, yeah.
Yeah, it just... This one seemed extra energetic. Seemed like a Hollywood marching band. Didn't seem like a legitimate marching band.
Interesting. I wonder why it would feel like a Hollywood... Anyways, you're saying?
Yeah. So, okay, so the biggest thing ever seems to be the fact that Turbo Man is going to be at this parade.
Yeah.
Like, the guy in the taxi mentions it. He's like, no, oh, they say Turbo Man's going to be there.
Aren't you excited to see Turbo Man at this parade?
Yeah. Do we actually fucking care? I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, what is the big deal about Turbo Man? As we've established, we think it's like a season one show here.
Well, I believe in 2022 they would say because he's hella lit.
He's hella lit. Okay.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
He's fire. He's fire.
Fire.
There you go.
Is that what the kids say these days?
Something like that, I think.
No, I think he's mid.
There you go.
You know,
that's he's definitely like, top. He's like Coney 2012. You know how, like, everybody was all about that for like a month,
for like a little bit, for like a hot minute.
A hot minute. There. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good bit, gentlemen.
Shout out to anybody who bought their kit.
Yeah, he's so Laurel and Yanni. But. It's just the way that they're acting, though. Like, it's like the Pope is going to be there. I mean, when I was in Seattle a couple months ago, I was there the same day as Kamala Harris. And it was crazy everywhere. Like,
she's known as the Pope of America.
Yeah. Like, helicopters overhead and everything like that. And it seems like that's the kind of big deal we have going on here with Turbo Man. But then somehow, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger just slips in the back door because...
Well, they couldn't have had helicopters out that day. I'm sure they cleared airspace because of the high-tech prototype they're about to unveil.
Yeah.
The jetpack suit, the Iron Man suit.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry, you know.
That perfectly conceals your face better than Superman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the... Because of that yellow tint. You can't see through that pale yellow tint.
What? Dad?
Well, Jamie, it's me, your father.
I'm your father. It's me, your father.
I do like when he manages to show up and, you know, like, start getting dressed up as Turbo Man. The one guy with the line, I've been sweating like a dog in a Chinese restaurant waiting for you to show up. I somehow think that line is probably a little problematic these days. I don't know.
Can you explain why it would be problematic? I don't understand.
Well, the stereotype.
Oh, because they always keep the heat pretty high. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But so Arnold Schwarzenegger gets suited up as Turbo Man, and yeah, how convenient that the lucky kid that gets chosen at random is going to be the winner of a special edition Turbo Man doll.
Yeah, with gold inlay or whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't come in the box, so it loses its resale value. That's the special edition.
Yeah. But poor Booster. Nobody likes him. I like the exchanges on the float between him and Booster, where, you know, he's like, oh, now wave to the crowd. Like, I just, yeah, I thought they were fun. Booster was fun.
So you want a full show just like Colin did back in the day.
Yeah, I'll take a booster show.
Everybody hates Booster. What are you talking about?
The Adventures of Booster and Turtle Man.
I thought it was hilarious that when Booster gets knocked off of the float, like, he gets attacked by the public. Like, yeah. not even like
he's that,
like,
hated.
People hate Booster so much that like, people know it's a show, right? Like,
why haven't they written him out of the show yet?
Because it's first season. We've established.
Clearly, he's not testing well with the demographics.
Yeah,
they should have known this before putting the show to air.
Like, is Booster like the Orko to He-Man, or is he more like the?
He seems to be a sidekick.
Granger, like, what's isn't Granger the?
He's the Robin to his Batman. I guess. Whoa. He's standing right next to him on the parade or whatever.
Yeah, is he a Chewbacca or is he a pet?
I think he's a Chewbacca. Well,
he's sentient.
He's bipedal and can talk.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. It'd be weird to have a pet that could fully communicate with you. Like, hey, could it be cool if you filled my water dish? And it's like, oh yeah, I guess I could. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's not really a pet. That's like a roommate with
claws.
Or claws.
There you go. I like how the newscasters, in a very newscaster way, end up commentating the fight. You know?
There was something about those newscasters that I thought was so funny. And is one of them not like the Old Spice guy? Is that black guy not in an Old Spice commercial?
I don't. Oh no, that was
I feel like
the guy from Mission Impossible, Grant Morrison, I think. Or is that not Grant Morrison, Grant?
Isn't that the guy from Mythbusters?
Huh? No, that's Grant Imahara. No, the guy that played Grant in Mission Impossible, I forget what his name is. He's one of them. No, he's an actor. He was Martian Manhunter in Smallville.
Ah, I knew that guy looked familiar.
Yeah. I had to think of where... Well, Mission Impossible wasn't going to work because I'm talking about the TV show, not the movie. So
I also love that his name is Gale Force.
Yeah.
Like Gale Force Wins. So good.
Yeah. But just how they're commentating the fight of, uh-oh, and here comes whatever the bad guy's
name
is.
They take it so seriously. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that cop too. The mom's chasing desperately after her kid and he's like, just a part of the show, lady. She's like, no, it's my fucking kid. Let me go.
Yeah. 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 Don't worry, lady.
Don't worry, lady. It's a part of the show. I've seen this before. They rehearsed it Thursday. Yeah, I watched it.
I'm gonna explain this in the classic Minnesota accent.
It's,
you know,
me from Minnesota.
Hey, hey, oh, hey, Minnesota, walking over here.
I'm watching here. The show. They're putting it on, lady.
Oh man, I did not realize that guy is Jackie Childs from Seinfeld. That's amazing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that too. That's right. Yeah. So yeah, so apparently it's no problem to just have a big jetpack fight in the middle of this city because everyone thinks it's a show. It's no problem to hijack.
It's pre-9/11.
Oh wait, I guess Sinbad does get arrested at the end, cuz I was going to say, you know, to hijack the bad guy's outfit, but I guess he does get in trouble. Howard doesn't. You know, he's been at least an accessory to half of this shit, but, you know.
He's definitely accomplice to the bombing at the very least.
Motorcycle cop with the burned hands, you know, just can't seem to bring in his guy.
It is a little bit fucked up that at the end of the movie, Myron gets hauled away in cuffs.
Right?
But Howard is just the hero because he's dressed as Turbo Man. Like, we're not going to arrest. We're not going to arrest him for like blowing through some black family's like Christmas Eve dinner.
Like, that fucking effect was so good. I watched that like 3 or 4 times. Like, they just. Oh, they got the most powerful fan and just blew it at that family for a good minute. It was like the longest blow-by ever.
Well, okay, but then we end up head first into a wall.
Yeah, dong! Yeah. Like a cartoon.
You'd be dead. You're dead.
He's built different. He's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, well, okay, then what about the fall onto his back from 50 feet?
Well, his back's all muscle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
His back just caught him. It suspended into, like, fingers and caught him.
Yeah. Because
they're so tensile, his muscles.
Yeah. Yeah. No, at the end, Myron gets arrested, and Howard ends up being carried on people's shoulders like he's some sort of hero. You know, because there's not going to be any legal ramifications from everything that you've been doing all day. Like, you've destroyed multiple places, like, multiple businesses you've destroyed.
Well, and whatever company made this suit is in for it, because it's like Spider-Man on Broadway, because apparently the other guy, his brain just started working on life support or whatever they said at the beginning. They went, don't worry, his brain just started making signals.
Oh, yeah, this is a lawsuit. This suit is a lawsuit. He's almost burned down his neighbor's house, but, you know, whatever. It's dressed like Turbo Man.
It's fine that my window is broken and my house is broken down. I'll drive you, Liz, to the parade.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, see, Phil Hartman, as much as I love him, he does play a magnificent creep.
I said Ted's a creep right at the end here, yeah.
Yeah, like Ted in the car with Rita Wilson, it's like, wow, he's take notes, Michael J. Fox, and Back to the Future. This is how you were supposed to hit on your mom.
Jeez.
I don't know. Some random reference. Why not?
But, fair enough.
No, but Phil Hartman was great. Yes, absolutely.
Love Phil Hartman.
Yeah. But yeah.
And Sinbad. Tremendous supporting characters in this movie.
Yeah. And he gets carried away, but he doesn't realize that all it took all along was that you just need to be a better father. It takes dressing up like Turbo Man for you to be like, hey, wait, maybe I should spend more time with my kid, or maybe I should just ride this dressed up like Turbo Man wave. My dad is Turbo Man.
It's not like
I don't need a Turbo
suit.
Man.
Yeah. He's not going to be able to dress up.
Yeah, he's not taking that shit home. Yeah. Is he going to have his wife sewing a Turbo Man suit?
Honey. I'm at work. You got to sew the Turbo Man suit.
It's with an extra large cod piece.
Extra large. Yes.
Honey. Extra large.
Yeah. So, yeah, we hit the end of the movie, and then, as Chris mentioned earlier, we do get a post-credit scene.
The first superhero movie to do it.
Yeah.
Question mark?
Colin, did you get to this post-credits scene?
I did not.
You gotta stop doing that.
I never assume. I assume that any movie like pre-2004 has like no post-credits scene.
Well, so he's putting up his star because, you know, they made Ted the Creep take the star down when Ted tried to move in on that territory. And so his wife is telling them that...
I was so excited to watch him throw Phil Hartman through a window or something, too. I thought for sure that's where he was going.
That was bound to happen, but it didn't. Yeah.
He decides to steal the toy anyways.
But his wife tells him that if you went to all that trouble to get her son a present... Makes me wonder what you went and got me.
And then he goes.
And then there's this dramatic sting, and Arnold Schwarzenegger stares straight down the lens of the camera, and the end. Apparently that was to set up a sequel that never happened until Larry the Cable Guy stepped into the role. And
the sequel where he, on Christmas Day, runs out. He has to come up with, I forgot it's in the office. And then he's gone for another 12 hours.
And he's breaking into places this time.
And his motorcycle is broken because the car was broken yesterday.
Yeah,
I remember that. I remember that scene, actually. I didn't watch it. I didn't think to watch it this round. But I remember seeing that one as a kid.
Oh, okay. So, fun fact... This is Arnold Schwarzenegger's only Christmas movie as an actor. Mm. However, as a director, he has directed a movie called Christmas in Connecticut.
Hmm. Never heard of it.
So, of course, I went on the old Google machine, and Christmas in Connecticut, this is the movie that Arnold Schwarzenegger directed. Elizabeth, the star of a successful cooking show, is set to do a live show on Christmas, where she'll cook a Christmas dinner. But what no one knows is that she can't cook. It stars Diane Cannon, Kris Kristofferson, Tony Curtis, and Richard Roundtree. The tagline is, she's hungry for ratings, he's hungry for dinner. And it got 4.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
Nice. Sounds like a Hallmark movie.
It really does, right? Absolutely. Yeah. And so this and one episode of Tales from the Crypt are Arnold Schwarzenegger's entire directing resume. But yes, randomly, Arnold Schwarzenegger has directed like this Hallmark Christmas movie called Christmas in Connecticut.
Weird. Hmm.
Because it's fun to hear Arnold Schwarzenegger say, Connecticut!
I need to Google a video of Arnold Schwarzenegger saying Connecticut, because I don't believe he can say it.
Connecticut,
Connecticut, guys.
Yeah, Connecticut. We're filming this movie in Connecticut.
Where, sir? Where?
Gentlemen, he was a governor of a U.S. state.
and he had to pronounce it California every single time.
California!
Get to the
California.
I also just got to say, while we're back on the whole talking like Arnold Schwarzenegger bit, Turbo Man sounds suspiciously like Mr. Freeze. Whatever fucking thing they put over his voice.
Everybody chill.
Chill. It's Christmas.
Well, there we go. That is Jingle All the Way. Now, Colin, Chris, on IMDb, it scored 5.7 out of 10. This episode's gotten out of control. And a Metascore of 34. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 19% on the tomato meter. Oh, dear. And an audience rating of 37%. Wow. Rotten Tomatoes rating it lower than Christmas in Connecticut. But, Colin, those are just numbers. Like a jet-packed human hitting a wall and stopping. Hit us with some reviews.
Okay. Justin Dark says, a funny Christmas flick. Jingle All the Way is one of those movies that isn't meant to be taken seriously. In other words, it's so bad, it's good. I like the part where Arnold fights the group of fake Santas. That was hilarious. My favorite line came from the muscled Santa. I believe his name was Big Show. He said, I'm gonna deck your halls, bub. The overall plot of this movie is relatable. Hunting down a specific Christmas gift. Most adults go through it unless they do extremely early Christmas shopping. Overall, Jingle All the Way is a cheesy movie that people should enjoy unless you're a critic who takes every movie seriously. This movie is just good, fun comedy.
Is that part of Santa training to learn how to speak in Christmas puns? Because they all had them, I realized, in that fight. Everyone had a one-liner that was somehow, you know, like, I'm going to jingle your
bells. You brought up Conan at the beginning of this. I recently watched a Conan bit where he went to, like, a training to be a mall Santa university. So, allegedly, there is a place where you train all these Santa-isms, I guess.
Well, I mean, I know of Clown College and Hamburger University as well, so...
There you go.
It's McDonald's training facility in
Sandwich
in,
University.
In Illinois.
For Subway?
Oh, yeah. But that's just an art degree.
Right.
Ba-dum-bum.
Nice. Nice! Just end it there. Just cut it. What else do we have to do? What are we here for, Colin?
I agree.
Come on.
This has gone on long enough.
Yes, it has.
All right, rate it. Come on.
Okay. Rotten Tomatoes super reviewer Joshua W. says, 2 out of 5 stars. Last Christmas I watched this only to hear the greatest Schwarzenegger line ever. Put that cookie down now! Classic.
No!
But this film makes you think if Arnold thinks people think he's funny or if he knows it's just because he says things funny. Honestly, if you just read the script without Arnold's voice, it's just a bad dad suffering from a bad parenting mistake. It's no Kindergarten Top. Sinbad's in it. Remember when he was a thing?
Oh, ouch. Wow.
Yikes.
Yikes. Oh, poor Sinbad. Taking shots fired. Shots fired at Sinbad.
Stephen L. gives the movie 5 out of 5 stars and says, growing up, this was my go-to fun, high-energy, laugh-out-loud Christmas movie. The scene of Schwarzenegger flying through the family's window as they ate dinner was something I cackled at over and over again for decades. It's the most lighthearted and borderline substanceless Christmas movie there is, but it's nostalgic and entertaining, and for that I'll always love it. Besides, if you haven't been quoting, "Put the cookie down!" for the past few decades, have you really been living anyway? It's turbo time.
Right on. Right on.
Love All right, it. That's it.
Right on. So yeah, nothing higher than 5.7 out of 10 from everything else, sinking lower than that. This is one that, like I said, I was already an adult by the time I saw it, just because of the bit that Conan used to do. So, and I mean, even with the release date, I was 18 when it came out, so I don't have childhood nostalgia. It's fun, it's stupid, it's... But the characters are very unlikable.
Yeah.
Phil Hartman is the only one where it's like, I love to hate him. Like, he makes such a hateable character, but it's an engaging hateable character.
Right.
Whereas Arnold Schwarzenegger is just kind of hateable. Like, his character has hateable traits, and Jake Lloyd just has a hateable face. So I just... I
just like, hey, leave the fucking kid alone.
Leave the kid alone. But it's... The characters are not likable for the most part in this movie.
No.
Because even when you start to like them, you don't like them eventually in the end. There are funny bits. It's
silly.
It's a silly movie. I enjoyed Ernest more, to be honest. I do have, you know, I think Ernest Saves Christmas had a bit more heart.
You're a big Ernest stan, though.
Not really. No.
Okay.
There were a couple moments, like, as much as Chris criticized the acting earlier, there were a couple moments between Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jake Lloyd where I'm like, how dare you make me feel feelings?
Mm.
Because there were a couple moments that actually had me genuinely like, what the hell? But right. it was too little too late out of these hateable characters. So
yeah, you're wrong, but yeah, I can see that, sure.
So it had its funny bits. It's but other than that, still not going to make its way into my annual rotation. But I don't mind that I saw it.
Right.
I was still entertained to an extent. It's no Kindergarten Cop.
No Kindergarten Cop.
It's no Twins. Chris, what about you? Your first experience with Jingle All the Way, what did you think?
You know, on a scale from orange to purple, where purple is excellent and orange is, it's good. I'd give it a blue.
Excellent. Colin, what about you? What did you think on this viewing of Jingle All the Way, the movie that you haven't seen since you were a young one?
I definitely didn't enjoy it as much as I did when I was a kid. I think the Phil Hartman like story is absolutely useless, but without him in this movie, it's an even worse movie. So I mean, I thought he probably added the most to the movie, if anybody did. It's definitely not going to be in my rotation every year. It's fine.
No, I totally agree with you that Phil Hartman is the villain that this movie needs, but it's as a weird character. Like, it's almost like the Ted character would have been better as the nemesis. or like you yeah, know like the exactly, as the yeah. Myron character.
Yeah, like I think right? it would have been better if Ted was also trying to get the doll to like impress Liz.
Yeah,
because like there's no point. Like Liz through the entire movie has no interest in him. Like the audience as like watching it, like you know she's never gonna go for it. So even by the time that he like shoots his shot, you know it's not happening.
Yeah.
So like he's never a real threat.
Well, see, that's the thing that Jingle All the Way 2 got right. Is you have the competing people trying to win the child's affection.
Exactly. If I were to rewrite Jingle All the Way, Phil Hartman would be too busy with his divorce to get his kid a present. And then it's the two of them fighting over it. And then Jake Lloyd gives the neighbor the present or whatever because his family's going through a divorce.
Yeah, because we don't even meet Sinbad's family. For all we know, he is buying this thing to sell it on the black market or something.
Even if it is for his kid gets it, and then his dad goes to jail for 15 going on life because he bombs the police department.
That's true. But we don't get to meet the kid that, like, this fabled kid that he's giving this Turbo Man to that, at least... Even though Phil Hartman's kid is a little pain in the ass, too, we never even mentioned that little kid.
And Sinbad's, motivation, too, is he never forgave his dad for not getting him a gift when he was a kid.
Yeah.
So he's kind of just a spoiled brat, too.
The feeling that I was left after watching this movie was, it's a fun movie to watch, but I don't know, it's not a satisfying Christmas movie, if you get my drift. Like, you don't... Yeah. Christmas movies, I feel like, are meant to, leave you with some, Christmas is about more than just presents and materialism. It's, about family and love and, being nice to people. And that is just not the message of this movie.
No, you need Kevin McAllister in the end saying... I wish my family was back.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about anything else. Another thing, by the way, that Jingle All the Way 2 gets right.
And even,
It is that she wants togetherness, and they thought it was whatever the toy is called.
And even if you think, I don't know, through, storytelling mechanics and purpose, not a single character has changed from the beginning of this movie to the end of this movie.
Not at all.
They're all exactly the same. They all come in and leave exactly the same. Nobody's grown. Nobody's learned anything. Nothing.
Yeah. Arnold hands that toy to Jake Lloyd and immediately starts thinking of what he's going to do in the new year with his mattress company.
Basically.
Yeah. I mean, if it was Canada, he'd be like, Boxing Day's tomorrow. I got to get to the office. Well, there we go. That is Jingle All the Way. And that's our show for this week. Oh boy, a huge thank you to our special guest for this week, Chris Wells.
Hey, you're welcome.
Chris, any last words?
I always leave with a quote, I guess. And
put down the cookie.
Well, that would be the obvious one, right? So, and we've already said that to death, so I'll leave with a better one. One that really caught me off guard, but of course it had to be said by Big Santa. I'm going to deck your halls, bub.
Right on.
Yeah.
If you like that show, one thing you can do to really help us out this holiday season, a perfect Christmas present for Colin and I, would be to tell people or share our posts, share word of mouth to help get more earballs on the show. Or if you want to go even further with your gift, go to whatever app you listen to your podcast on and give us 5 stars. Doesn't matter what you say in any reviews for us, it's not for our egos, but it does help drive us up the charts and helps us get noticed. Or if you want to become a producer of the show, you can donate to us and go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne. You become part of our Patreon family, and because you're an executive producer, you get a shout out just like executive producer Joshua Blum from the 13th Hour podcast.
Probably also helps the ego a little bit, I'd imagine.
It does, but okay.
It's not nice to say, I get it.
I more want algorithms.
Yeah. Right. Happy holidays.
Yeah.
And be sure to check out our website, IUsedToLikeThisOne.com, where you can find links to all our podcast episodes and social media pages. And drop us a line at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com and let us know what movies you used to like. and then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
I mean, we'll read anything that comes our way. You know, where it's appreciated, but it's not there to feed our egos. I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells. Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter in the Capitals, anywhere you listen to music. If you want to hear more from me and my stories of being a bus driver, check out my other podcast, In Front of the Yellow Line, anywhere pods are cast, season 2 now out. Thank you for listening. And join us next week when we take a look at another Christmas movie, our big Christmas spectacular on I Used to Like This One.
Happy Christmas, Merry Kwanzaa, Hanukkah.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Happy holidays.
Yeah. Happy Life Day.
The Seinfeld one.
That's Festivus for the rest of us.
There you go.
Yeah. Break out the old Festivus pole.
Wingardium Leviosa.
What?